It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Big Tuesday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not having a meltdown over Donald Trump's reduction in his real estate battle. No, ma'am. The media really losing it yesterday on both Trump and NBC's decision to hire Rona McDaniel.
The media is a bunch of losers.
They really are. And in this hour, we're going to have a grown-up talk, you and me, on a day where the world could use the pick-me-up. We've had a tragic cargo ship disaster down in Baltimore. We're expecting the NTSB to speak about that shortly. The president, Joe Biden, announcing moments ago that he will address the situation as well.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did, and we are monitoring that. We're also going to get RFK Jr.'s vice presidential announcement in the third hour of today's show. It's going to be a busy day, but we're going to begin with a grown-up talk about solutions, about maybe, I don't know, helping the country. Do you remember, like, America First? And I don't mean Trump running on America First. I just mean that era we grew up in where we were all in on the joke that if you lived here, you were doing okay.
Freedom!
There's that. So in this hour, maybe a little healthy dose of perspective as the show gets underway. 888-788-9910 if you want to help me dish it out. Also, the phone number if you don't want to dish it out. You might not be a fan. You can call in. We'll put you right on the air one way or the other. This is an audio safe space for cool people. We can agree to disagree. You can be Republicans. We can be Democrats, Libertarians, Independents. The only thing we ever ask is that you don't be a... So there you go. Happy Tuesday. I'm in a pretty good mood. I spent my morning over at Good Day New York with the iconic Rosanna Scotto. She is the host, the face of Good Day New York on Fox 5. We did an in-studio segment. And then the people from Motor Trend, you guys are all familiar with Motor Trend magazine. My goodness, great. I mean, amazing. It's iconic. Motor Trend did a segment where they saluted the new Chevy Corvette Stingray. It was voted the 75th on the 75th anniversary of the most iconic car in America. And to close the TV show today, okay, Motor Trend decided to let me drive a brand new Corvette with Roseanne Scotto in the passenger seat.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
It was actually smart. We had a fantastic time. And a shout out to them. And Geico will be in touch about the damages. You stop it. We got that car back. We actually got that car back in one piece, safe and sound.
You're a liar.
I'm not lying. It was great. So shout out to them. We will probably show a clip of it on Fox News Saturday night. But right now on Tuesday, it's a little earlier in the week, we've got a lot to monitor. Okay, the NTSB is going to give an update soon. That's what we are told. If you missed that story this morning, really sad stuff, but a cargo ship, I believe it was headed for Sri Lanka, lost power on the way out of the harbor in Baltimore, hit the iconic Francis Scott Key Bridge, which has been up since 1977, and sadly the bridge collapsed. As we get on the air right now, we are of the belief that people could still be missing. People have been recovered with injuries, but I don't have the specifics. The NTSB does, so we will monitor that as we get that update. Where we begin in media is a little bit of a it's kind of a reboot of yesterday's show in the sense that we got on the air live yesterday and broke the news in real time that an appellate judge had reduced the bond in Donald Trump's real estate fraud case from $454 million to $175 million. Now, that's still a lot of money. It's a ton of money. Okay, to be fair, it's an unfair amount of money, if for no other reason, then Trump is being charged for a law that no one has ever been charged with in the history of commercial real estate. So he's not getting preferential treatment. He's getting unpreferential treatment. You understand? when they tell you, well, you know, but he committed fraud. If you commit fraud, if I commit fraud. But he didn't commit fraud. Do you understand? The banks were okay with the loans. The banks got paid on time. The banks got paid in full. And every one of those banks is willing to do business with him to this day. So is there an actual victim in the crime? And is there any preferential treatment in the crime? No. So you understand everybody carrying on in the media of like, oh, this guy got away with fraud. No, no, no. He didn't get away with fraud. The point is he didn't commit fraud. Okay, Mar-a-Lago is not worth $18 million. The property next to Mar-a-Lago is worth $155 million. The property next to that is worth $200 million. Anyone who's ever sold a house knows you run the comps on the neighboring houses to determine the fair market value of your home. I promise you, if your right neighbor is worth $200 million and your left neighbor is worth $155, your house is not worth $18 million.
He knows what he's talking about.
So a judge, an activist judge, an activist prosecutor who physically ran for office, the hallmark of her campaign is I'm going to find and prosecute Donald Trump.
That's not right.
In a normal world, she's not even allowed to prosecute a case against Donald Trump after vowing to get him before she even knew what the crimes were.
That's true. That is true.
So you understand Trump didn't get preferential treatment yesterday. Okay, he still has to appeal this verdict. He still has to post $175 million. But Jon Stewart, who's just terrible at what he does, he was never good. He was always an activist masquerading as a comedian. But there was a trendy style of snark made popular by his edition of The Daily Show that had a huge successful following. It spawned the Stephen Colbert Show as well, where Colbert was just mimicking conservative pundits and Stewart was always feigning outrage at some out-of-context Fox News clip, as he was wont to do. And a lot of people on the left who run on moral superiority, who just want to be told they're better than you. They know better than these dumb, horse-paste-eating Trump supporters in the flyover states. They gravitated towards that level of intellectually lazy snark for a long time. But in a day and age now where comics are either being asked to evolve or just like look like activist wastes of space, Jon Stewart hasn't gotten the memo. He's like a Colbert. He's like a Kimmel. Okay, people who are very much activist masquerading as comedians. Now, Bill Maher peddled the Russian collusion hoax for 3 years, but to his credit, one of the reasons he survived as long as he has in media is he's smart enough to either A, reinvent himself or distance himself from the ridiculous. So Bill Maher went out and staked a new patch of turf where he was like, I'm not going to pretend men can have babies because I know they can't. Okay, I'm not going to decide every vote should be based on identity politics because people have more to offer the world than their skin color. Bill Maher, to his credit, piggybacking off of the Martin Luther King vision for the future, as opposed to the current racially reductive one, where your entire value to society is predicated on what color you are. Okay, that is racist. That is reverse segregation, and it's disgusting, but it became a viable tool to get votes for a long time. Why?
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
But now people are seeing through it. People are abandoning the Democratic Party. Biden, who won Latinos by 40 points, is now trailing with Latinos by 20. Because they don't buy the whole vote for us because the other guys are racist. They see Biden doing things to our southern border that is very much making America resemble some of the countries people fled. Folks who migrated to this country legally are very upset about the 10 million people who've gotten to cut the line illegally, who don't necessarily have to pay taxes because they're getting a stipend from the government. If you busted your ass to move here and build a life, you don't like what they're doing to the border. So Biden's getting crushed with Latinos. When it comes to male black voters, Trump is up about 40 points higher than he was in the last election because they realize the consequences for electing Biden were not good for the black community. Okay, crime is up. Schools are overcrowded. Inflation went through the roof. All issues that weren't a concern under Trump.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
But understand, for the people who run on that self-righteousness, for the people that run on the we know better, these guys are all dumb. They're still running with this act at a time when people think they're crazy. Why? Because they're operating from a place of emotion. When you operate from emotion. You're in a fight with your girlfriend or your spouse. You yell at each other. You say things you probably don't mean. Emotion denies you the self-awareness that would otherwise remind you that you're not being yourself. You sound a little crazy. Well, Donald Trump got into politics and was greeted by what we call a manufactured hysteria. A lot of people in the media who hung out with him. Don't forget, Trump had the longest running primetime show on NBC. It was called Celebrity Apprentice. It was the highest rated show on the network. And then one day Trump came down the escalator and they were like, he's literally Hitler. And I was like, well, you're literally paying him royalty checks. So that makes you part of that fringe. Okay, it was a manufactured hysteria. They didn't like the idea of him running against Hillary Clinton. So even though they hung out with him, Trump was on The View. Trump was on all of the shows you could go on. Howard Stern, he was on Oprah all the time. He was tight with Barbara Walters. Like I said, he hosted Saturday Night Live twice because he was a primetime host on NBC. But the minute Trump got into politics, they were like, I don't know this man. He's crazy.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And that's how they did him. And for a while, it was effective. People bought the hysteria, the manufactured hysteria. But at this point, the only ones who believe the manufactured hysteria are the ones peddling it.
Bingo.
So when the media gives this reaction, here's the media reaction yesterday. It's just spectacularly stupid. And it's a class of people who don't have the self-awareness to know that all of this punitive prosecution of Trump looks bad to the casual observer, not necessarily a Trump supporter, just a casual observer. If they hear the bank didn't claim they were defrauded, if they hear the borrower didn't miss a payment, yet they're told it's fraud and we should be seizing his house, they do think you're getting a little carried away. But here's the media, completely out of touch with what rational people think. Clip two.
This is so infuriating, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed.
Example 749 of Donald Trump rolling above the law. I mean, the notion that I would walk in there and have my what I owed knocked down to a third of the judgment is ludicrous.
Look, if you have the money, just go ahead and pay for it. Don't whine about it. It is a national security risk for someone to be this much in debt.
He and members of his family have been very close to Russian and Saudi interests, just to name a few. So this is a big problem that he has given longer to try to court this kind of money from who knows where.
There's no question that there is disproportionate justice for him in countless ways.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Let me answer this really quickly. Okay, the first guy who says, I don't know what to do. You do. Go home, look in the mirror, and go, I'm a loser.
Correctamundo.
Okay, Nicole Wallace, the idea that I'd walk in there and get my bond reduced, here's a newsflash. You wouldn't have a bond to post. Why? Because no one in the history of New York State has ever been charged for this but Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
So the idea that Trump somehow got a favor yesterday. Okay, the guy owes a $175 million bond for a real estate crime he didn't commit. The bank doesn't say he committed it. The lenders, the borrowers, nobody says he committed it. Yet he still got to post $175 million. Does that sound like a good deal for him?
The answer would be no.
No, of course not. Okay, and when they tell you like, oh, well, he's in so much debt, he's a security risk. Who do you think put him in that debt? The Democrats. Why do you think they put him in that debt? Exactly so they could make the points that they're making.
This is politics as usual.
We can't vote for this guy. He's sold out to foreign entities. That's what they want you to believe. And this is happening in the very moment where the Bidens are being step by step proven to have sold interest in our government through their foreign money influence peddling scheme.
Are you the big man, Joe?
Three of Hunter's business partners are on the record as saying, yes, he's the big man. He was the brand. He got the money. Now, the media wants you to believe Trump is an existential threat to America because of all of the debt the liberals put him in. You know, he might go reach out overseas to come up with the money. They don't realize how full of but the rest of us do. And that's why every time they come after Trump, his appeal grows a little bit more, not to members of a cult, not even to Republicans, but to sane people.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
A show so good, it moves the stock market.
The Dow racing up on Jimmy's remarks.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is, girlfriend. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Trying to opiate the masses with some wit and wisdom. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of this thing. Brian Brenberg is going to be here. That's exciting. And dig this, Katie Pavlich, general in the Fail of Fashion Army, fresh off a dominant showing on Fox News Saturday night. She's going to join us in the next hour. Lot of KP fans in the Fox News audience, and we've got a lot to get to in that hour. Right now, the conversation I was trying to have with you is around this Trump reaction. Okay, and this is so funny. The people who hate Trump are not well, meaning they're not well, emotionally not well. They were all excited today because they thought his assets were going to get seized yesterday, and then, you know, his stock was going to hit the market and tank today.
Wrong.
Trump's stock, okay, was up 40% when I was on the air with Stuart Varney a little while ago. Up 40%. I'm only laughing because all the people who sell confirmation bias and we're better than him, orange man bad, here's at MSNBC. Here's their analyst, Adam Pollack, former New York assistant attorney general. You know, the people prosecuting Trump. Adam Pollack goes on MSNBC and says that Trump's Truth Social is worthless. It's up 40%. Anyway, here it is, clip six.
I think that the value is essentially worthless. This is a company that doesn't make any money. And sure, they could change the bylaws and end the lockup period and go to market and sell a share. Someone will buy a share, two shares. But if they went to market and tried to sell $3 billion, the value of the stock would go to zero practically immediately.
So right now, as we speak, it hit a high of up 40. Now it's at down 0.13% right now on the day. So it has fluctuated. But the idea that it's just worthless is being said. Why? Because these people are a prisoner of the moment. In a minute to minute, day to day, they just need the news cycle to tell them they're better. That's it. Just, is he going to seize the property tomorrow? Now, let me be clear. All of those people that were crushed that Trump's properties didn't get seized yesterday, they were never going to get seized. If they put a judgment in against you, they don't show up that day with a padlock and say it's ours now. Okay, it takes months, in some instances years, and he can, of course, appeal it, drag it out even longer. But on a day-to-day basis, they're willing to sell their viewers any dream they want today, regardless of how it's going to play out tomorrow. Because we're now living in the death of shame. They're not tuning into MSNBC, okay, for news. They're tuning in for confirmation bias. It's almost like a well-dressed form of therapy, which is why MSNBC can get away with saying on the air, we can't hire Rona McDaniel. She lied about the 2020 election. Do you realize that if lying about an election is the standard for employment, every single person on MSNBC would have to be fired?
You are correct, sir.
They spent 3 years, telling you that Russia stole the 2016 election. Some of them still say it to this day. But you're like, Ronna McDaniel can't be here. She lied about an election. I mean,
you can't handle the truth.
Okay, these people, okay, and I've got to be honest with you. The biggest baiter of all of them, we're going to discuss him in the next break. We got to give it proper time. We're on a loser hunt. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. There's nobody more full of it anywhere in comedy than Jon Stewart.
I agree with that.
Like, Colbert is up there. Okay, Kimmel, I want to give Jimmy Kimmel this, okay? Jimmy Kimmel is paying protection to the woke mob in the sense that Kimmel was never politically active. He was a guy who hosted The Man Show with chicks jumping on trampolines.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, Jimmy Kimmel was with Adam Carolla. They made a beautiful dollar, as you say. Okay, but he wore an awful lot of blackface.
This could be a problem.
A big problem with the woke left. And as you'd imagine, okay, Kimmel would be one of the easiest canceling targets in the history of all mankind if he didn't adopt literally every single woke position that there is.
Everything woke turns to
A lot of people feel that way. But Kimmel basically became an activist. He became an activist where he fights with Trump every day. He trashes Trump voters. He's the guy who famously said if you're an unvaccinated person, you should die if there's a shortage of hospital beds.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. I don't, that choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
You're a crowd. You hear the crowd? I mean, good God.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Okay, but at the time, that's the level of self-righteousness they were peddling. Well, the unvaccinated are getting us killed. Okay, well, as it turns out, vaccinated people were getting and spreading COVID. Sadly, tens of thousands of vaccinated people died from COVID. So everybody like the Jimmy Kimmels of the world who were saying you were a murderer if you don't follow it their way, or you're spreading misinformation if you don't go their way, they were all wrong. Chuck Todd's another example. I played you a clip yesterday of him literally shaming the unvaccinated and shaming the people, okay, who were reportedly pushing this misinformation. Listen to this self-righteousness from Chuck Todd, clip 21.
She called the Delta variant, quote, hyper-transmissible. And that its spread is being fueled by communities with low vaccination rates. Director Walensky says more than 1,000 counties have a vaccination rate lower than 30%. Folks, nearly 10,000 people died in the month of June. They were needless deaths. Please get vaccinated. If you know someone who's not vaccinated, find a way to convince them to get vaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. People are needlessly dying because of your misinformation. Think about it. I don't know how some of you sleep at night who are doing this for a living on television.
You are so full of sh-.
He said the only people who are dying are the unvaccinated. Guys, the last month we kept score, vaccinated people died of COVID more often than unvaccinated people.
So I guess we have some issues.
No issues, because nobody goes back and revisits the lie. It's no differently with all of them saying Ronna McDaniel shouldn't work at MSNBC because she said that the 2020 election was stolen. Well, here's a newsflash. Every single Democrat said the 2016 election was stolen. But let's stay on message. Jimmy Kimmel is one of the people who pushed the Russian collusion narrative. He very much did it as a hostage of the far left. He's not his own man. He's a guy who hosts the Oscars. If you're going to host the Oscars, you got to be Orange Man bad. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, Jon Stewart's just getting back into town on The Daily Show. He had retired from the show. He went off to Apple TV. Okay, there were more producers than viewers on that show. Nobody was watching that show. Okay, and that's fine. Apple TV is new. It's that they have had some hits. I'm not disparaging them or their product on any level. I'm truly not. But Jon Stewart kind of became irrelevant post-Daily Show, and now he's quickly becoming irrelevant now that he's back into the Daily Show. Everybody watched the premiere, and now the ratings are falling off a cliff because he's going back to doing what he used to do, which is saying, I know better than everybody else. There's only one small problem. He never knew better.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Jon Stewart's an idiot. Because I'm going to play you clips, and this is a reaction to the Trump real estate ruling. Okay, Jon Stewart not only goes after Trump in the verdict, but he goes after Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. Kevin O'Leary, okay, who knows a hell of a whole lot more about commercial real estate than a guy like Jon Stewart. But what ultimately happens to people who, again, are operating from a place of emotion and self-righteousness is it denies them self-awareness. Okay, so Jon Stewart thinks, no, I should wade into a battle with Kevin O'Leary, a billionaire developer. Donald Trump, billionaire developer. I know better than they do. And that's what he decided to do on a show. So I want you to listen to Stewart, and I will certainly play you the Kevin O'Leary clips as well, because Kevin O'Leary was apoplectic when they imposed this verdict against Donald Trump, because he said this is exactly how real estate works. One guy wants to borrow money, so he tells the bank his property is worth X. It's then up to the bank to do their due diligence and decide whether or not the property appraises for the value they want to lend him. If it doesn't, they don't give him the money. Now, on the off chance that the guy just has a pristine borrowing record, they may not even do their due diligence in terms of whether or not the guy has the ability to pay. But the fact remains, if no bank says Trump ripped them off, if no bank says Trump committed fraud, then there's no world where Trump is guilty of fraud, bottom line. Okay, but here is Jon Stewart deciding, oh, no, no. I'm on The Daily Show. I've got a studio audience. They're zapped with a cattle prod to applaud and cheer whenever I make a mediocre point. Okay, this is an activist propaganda comedy hour. Okay, I know better because I can get people to applaud. Here is, okay, Jon Stewart talking about Trump, clip three.
What did Trump actually do to earn this penalty? Well, it turns out that for a decade, whenever Trump wanted to get a loan or make a deal, he would illegally inflate the value of his real estate. For instance, suggesting that his 11,000 square foot penthouse was a 30,000 square foot penthouse. I guess somehow including the sky in the calculation. We all do it. I mean, in my license, I'm not listed as 5'7", you know. I'm listed as 30,000 square feet. And the, thank you. And the Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very sophisticated real estate practice known as lying.
There's only one small problem. Okay, he doesn't actually have proof that Trump was devaluing these properties on his tax bill because Trump is not accused of paying less taxes than the properties were worth.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
And you understand an audience laughing at something, again, this is a studio audience, they're getting shocked into laughing in some instances. Warm-up comics are great, they're very aggressive, they get the audience jazzed up. One of the reasons we don't have one on my show, for real, because some people are like, oh, you need an audience, it's an atmosphere. But we like doing the show organically. Okay, we're confident in the jokes we tell on the show, and it's very much reflected in the ratings that, you know, we're doing well. We kind of have a handle on what we're doing. So in a lot of ways, as much as I like an audience, I think for a show like mine, we just don't need one because we have an easy time filling the clock. Okay, we cut more content than we can use every week, whereas the average comedy show sits down, looks at that one-hour clock, and is like,
this could be a problem.
Okay, we don't do a lot of production numbers because we don't need to fill time. Okay, but I'm also surrounded by a lot of super proficient, you know, comedians and funny people. But Jon Stewart, okay, says Trump lied, it's fraud, whenever he wanted to borrow. Okay, he inflated the value. But here is Kevin O'Leary, a billionaire developer, flat out saying this is what we all do in order to keep commercial real estate happening. Clip four.
I hear about the so-called victimless crimes, but the laws on the books, falsification of business records in second degree, issuing false financial statements, insurance fraud, conspiracy, and all these different aspects of it, those are actual crimes. I take it your point is that these should not have been prosecuted?
Everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. This has never, ever been prosecuted.
So do you understand, though, why I'm laughing? Okay, because everybody who wants you to believe Trump got a break because they lowered the value of the bond he needs to post, he didn't get a break because he's the only guy who's ever been charged for this crime in the history of New York State. No one's ever been charged for this. Trump's being charged for it by an attorney general who ran on, I'm going to prosecute Donald Trump.
That's not right.
Okay, again, she wouldn't be able to try this case in a normal world. So you understand, Kevin O'Leary's flat out telling you that everything they claim, okay, is would be a crime or not a victimless crime. Here's more John Stewart. John Stewart wants you to believe he knows better than O'Leary. Okay, billionaire developer. He knows better than Trump, billionaire developer. No, I'm John Stewart. I got some laughs from folks who hate the middle of the country. Don't you understand? That makes me right. It's so sad. Clip five.
The f-ing entitled arrogance. I don't know if you know this, but most people just can't commit fraud and expect to face no repercussions, even if everyone's doing it. Try getting a car loan by saying you have 10 times as much money as you really do, or claim 20 dependents when you have no children, or say you make slightly less money to qualify for food assistance. I will guarantee you there are not just financial consequences for those lies, but criminal ones. But don't tell that to the investment community, because in their minds, in pursuit of profit, there is no rule that cannot be bent. There is no principle that cannot be undercut, as long as you and your f-ing friends are making money.
Ugh.
That was absolutely dreadful.
There's only one problem with what John Stewart is saying. Okay, Donald Trump, are you ready for it? He didn't commit fraud.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, the scenario he just described. Try getting a job, lying to the bank. Try buying a mortgage, lying to the bank. Okay, the bank thought Donald Trump told them the truth. So do you understand? He didn't commit fraud in misrepresenting the value of his properties. The people who committed fraud were the people who told you Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million, even though it's flanked by a $155 million property and a $200 million property. Do you understand? If your neighbor's lot is worth $150 million and your other neighbor's lot is worth $200 million, if the only thing on your lot, it's just a grass lot with one turd that was left by the neighborhood dog. If the only thing on that lot, okay, is that turd. Guess what? That turd is sitting on a piece of land that's worth probably $150 million.
Tell them like it is.
Okay, again, this is real estate 101. If your neighbor's worth $200 million, your other neighbor's worth $155 million, there is physically no way in hell your house is worth $18 million.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
So everybody who's sitting here with their emotions as their facts going, oh, Trump got away with fraud. We wouldn't get away with fraud. Yet neither would Trump if he committed fraud. But in this instance, he didn't commit fraud. Okay. Donald Trump is being charged for the finance. This is the financial equivalent of getting mad at somebody for something they did in your dream. Okay. It's murder financially. They're going to kill his business. They're going to put these people out of a job. But there's no dead body. That's what's going on here. And the fact that an appellate court didn't say I'm throwing the case out, which is ultimately going to happen. They said I'm reducing the bond. And everybody was like, oh, it's preferential treatment.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Do you understand? It's not preferential. You're not getting preferential treatment if you're the first human being charged for a law in the history of the world. And there's nobody identifying themselves as a victim. Again, fraud means what? You ripped somebody off. You misrepresented the value of something and took their money for a lot more than you should have given the value of what you sold them. That is fraud, which means one guy commits fraud, one guy falls victim to fraud. In this instance, there's nobody claiming they fell victim to fraud.
That is balderdash and hogwash and mm-hmm.
Of course. Because you can't charge him. In what world would he be charged? He's never been charged. So when they're sitting here being like, no, this isn't right. Probably like Russia involved. Am I right, you guys? You know, seriously. And everybody in the media keeps, oh, this Trump verdict. What are we going to do? Oh, what are you going to do? You should try getting a life.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right.
You're right.
You're listening to the most relatable man on the radio.
Best way to describe him is to say he's the typical boy next door.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Here's one the Jersey people might get a kick out of. Tickets go on sale March 29th, but I have been authorized to announce today that on Saturday night, June the 22nd, I am heading to Jersey. I'm going to be at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. Tickets go on sale this Friday, March the 29th at 10 a.m. But I always tell you stuff on the radio before the general public finds out about it. But it is official. I get back to the East Coast after all the touring we're doing, Montana and Washington and Vegas. And my God, we're going to be every Colorado Springs. We're going to Dallas. We're going everywhere. Okay, we're going to be at the Schubert in Boston, May 18th. If you want to see me do stand-up live, go to foxacrossamerica.com. It lists the dates, and all of the on-sale ticket venues can be found right there at the website. But these tickets will go on sale this Friday. We will sell out the Count Basie down in Jersey. So if you want to go, get to work. It's Saturday night, June the 22nd. Me, you, the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Okay. Well, obviously, none of us digging this catastrophe, this tragedy in Baltimore today. Biden spoke a little while ago. The NTSB has briefed us as well. And Perk, who is down in Maryland, a guy who, by the way, has seen me live. Talk about a caller just tying into everything going on the show. The only thing we need now out of him is a real estate deal with Donald Trump, or maybe you've been to The Daily Show. Perk, how do we tie up that one loose end?
I'll cut your real estate deal. How about the Brooklyn Bridge? You want to buy it?
Hey, there you go. There you go. So what do we know down in Maryland? I'm hoping everybody's doing okay down there.
Well, yeah, but it's like a hurricane situation where we're going to be in the news for a couple of days. But the travesty that's going to, and the hard work that's going to have to be put in over the next months, maybe even over a year, is really going to be tough.
Yeah,
for Maryland. 695 is the loop around Maryland. Mm-hmm. And now all the traffic that was on there is going to be out on 95. So if Michael's listening, buddy, look out. You think traffic's bad on 95 now? It's about to be a lot worse.
Wow.
But what's even more important than that is that this bridge is the second largest bridge in Maryland, the first one being the Bay Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it has cut off the cargo, the shipping cargo, to the port of Baltimore.
Wow.
Where on average 5 to 7 cargo ships are going up there every day.
Wow.
So, you know, it's gonna be bad.
Okay.
But I just want to let you know that it's the American spirit of rebuilding is alive and well here in Maryland.
Yep. No, we'll be back. Excuse me. No question. We're gonna get back on our feet. You know, it's a lot to go through, man. We've been watching it all morning. We were certainly thinking about you. And these are those moments, Perk, where the resiliency of the American people are on display and we do bounce back. I wish as a country we had this vibe every day. You know, we shouldn't need a boat to
right.
hit a bridge for everybody to go, we're all in this together. You know, and that's just reality.
Right.
That's me, the optimist, yeah. trying to help the nerve. But we appreciate the update. You're the closest thing we have to a correspondent. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a budget to get an actual reporter on. So we throw you a couple of donuts and tell you to GPS your way to the site. Good job, Perk.
Get on down here and do a show down here in Maryland.
Oh, listen, they've gone through enough without watching my act. But thank you for saying so. Great stuff by the Perk man. We are back with Katie Pavlich in the next hour.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, is it ever? Here we go, here we go. Back in action. Big hour of Fox Across America, your home for top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. It's a mess out there in Washington. We are monitoring a tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore where a cargo ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And sadly, collapsed it along the way. Certainly, most and all of our concerns lie with the human cost of such a tragedy And we are being told there will be a logistical cost as well. We will continue to monitor that as we go on. Katie Pavlich is going to be here. She's a general in the Fail of Fashion Army. She stole the show on Fox News Saturday night. The women kind of ran away with it. Pavlich was great. Martha McCallum was fantastic. It was a good show, by all accounts. We'll relive some of it in this hour. And we'll talk about a major meltdown in the media because NBC hired Rona McDaniel. It's really fascinating stuff. 888-788-9910. We've got a lot of substantive stuff to get into, but this one is just so ridiculous. I need to spend a little time on it. Let me tell you where we begin. So over the weekend, Rona McDaniel, who was the former head of the RNC, not terribly popular with the voters. She was very much establishment. I've had her on this show before. There was an effort to oust her earlier in the spring because she was kind of late to the party in getting the Republican get-out-the-vote operation up to speed with the Democrats, meaning you've got to invest in early voting. You've got to invest in mail-in voting. And I understand that we have reservations about some of these aspects, but the reality is we're going to vote with these mechanisms in place in 2024. They're going to play a pivotal role in the election, so they should be utilized, not ignored, because that sends the other team to bat with a little bit of an advantage. But regardless of how you felt about Rona McDaniel, okay, she was hired by NBC in something that was very commonplace. Michael Steele is a former head of the RNC. He works at NBC. Jen Psaki was a White House press secretary when she was reportedly negotiating her job with NBC.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
A lot of people felt that way, but Jen Psaki was apparently taking questions from NBC reporters as a White House press secretary, which is a little bit of a conflict of interest, but lo and behold, wound up on the network. Okay, but the reason there's all of this outrage at MSNBC right now is they're saying, how dare they hire someone who denied the results of an election? There's only one problem. Everybody at MSNBC did the exact same thing.
Bingo.
Okay, every single one of them spent years telling you that Russia stole the 2020 election. Okay, they spent all kinds of time talking to you about the coronavirus, talking to you about Russia, talking to you about, you know, Donald Trump is compromised. They've got dirt on him. OK, this is the big argument. I'm going to play it for you. I'm going to play you their argument. OK, this is led by Chuck Todd. It started on Sunday. Chuck Todd on his show on Meet the Press. OK, way back when. OK, was trashing the idea that they could hire somebody like this. He opened the floodgates and away they went from there. So here it is, clip 27.
And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination.
But we've also said election deniers, is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
The person who is the head of the Republican Party during Donald Trump's time in office and during his effort to throw out the election result and stay in power anyway is Ronna Romney McDaniel. The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Okay, understand, every single member of MSNBC was on the air night in and night out saying Russia controlled our government.
It was made up by these sick people.
But Rachel Maddow wants you to believe that, you know, the fact that she could do that is inexplicable. Well, if the standard for not hiring someone is denying an election, then Rachel Maddow has to go.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
If it's misinformation, then Rachel Maddow has to go, because Rachel Maddow is the one in this montage I play you all the time about the vaccine.
It means that instead of the vaccine being able, instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading and spreading, sickening some of them, but not all of them. And the ones that it doesn't sicken don't know they have it. And then they give it to even more people because they didn't recognize they were right. Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Because lo and behold, the vaccine didn't block transmission, and sadly, a lot of vaccinated people died of COVID. But understand, she's not the only person to lie on MSNBC. Here is a montage of NBC lying about the origins of COVID, lying about Russia. This is clip 20.
To a conspiracy theory going around that the coronavirus originated and was perhaps man-made inside a lab in China.
This question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked
it
that this virus was man-made or modified or anything like that.
A lot of people on the right love that phrase, escape from the lab, because it sounds like something from a Marvel movie or a comic book. Both scientists and the U.S. intelligence community agree that this coronavirus was not man-made. That is not a possibility.
The president is a Russian operative.
This cloud about collusion with Russia will hang over him no matter where he stands.
It does look like he's listening to Putin more than he is American intelligence.
We're about to find out if the new president of our country is going to do what Russia wants. The presidency is effectively a Russian op.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
That's all, folks.
Okay, seriously. Lawrence O'Donnell, the president is a Russian operative. Did they take him off the air? Is anybody throwing a morality stampede because the guy got that one wrong?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Rachel Maddow, who says it's inexplicable you could hire somebody who lied about the election. That was Rachel Maddow at the end of the montage saying the president is effectively a Russian operative. But is there any morality stampede about getting her off the air? She did that every night for 3 years, guys. She let the country on fire. We had a Mueller probe founded entirely on opposition research. Everyone telling you Trump was a Russian knew it was a made-up story. So not only were they wrong, okay, calling them wrong implies that they made any attempt to be right. They knew they couldn't be right. They were trying to stage a soft coup and get Trump to disqualify himself by firing Robert Mueller and creating the perception that there was a there.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
That was the whole point of the Mueller probe. They knew it was started based on the Steele dossier. They knew that was completely uncorroborated. Hillary Clinton went to the FBI to create a counter-narrative to her Russia, to her private email scandal. And they gave a document to the FBI. Hey, we're just here as concerned citizens. It's nothing to do with our campaign. Forget that we're even running against this Trump fella. As Americans, we just want to leak this report to you that Trump is talking to a Russian alpha bank. And then what did they do? They ran to the media. And they said, hey, I don't know if you guys heard, the FBI is apparently investigating some connection between Trump and Russia. Can you believe
that is a lie?
But that's what they did. It is a lie, but that's what they did. And then the groundswell grew big enough in the media that the government felt just in launching their own investigation into Trump. But they knew from the get-go there was no collusion between Trump and Russia. That's why the Mueller probe was such a disaster. It wasn't supposed to run its course. He was supposed to get disqualified somewhere along the way by self-destructing in a death by a thousand cuts scenario. Rachel Maddow led that charge every single night. And she brought on the Adam Schiffs of the world every single night who were telling you on TV that Trump was colluding with Russia, but behind closed doors under oath, admitting they hadn't seen any collusion. Here is Schiff over the years on their air.
The campaign accepted help, which we know they did. The Russians then delivered help, which we know they did.
There is circumstantial evidence of collusion. The case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So,
you've said on more than one occasion that you've seen ample evidence of the Trump campaign's Russia collusion. Last March, you said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia.
I've certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion.
Can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy.
But we do know this. The Russians offered help. The campaign accepted help. The Russians gave help, and the president made full use of that help. And that is pretty damning.
You told some of the biggest lies that I've ever heard of in my whole life.
So understand, when Adam Schiff spends 3 years saying that, we know this. He didn't know this. We know this. The Russians offered help. Trump accepted. We don't know that. Actually, the Mueller probe proved the complete opposite. But does anyone at MSNBC throw down the gauntlet about booking Adam Schiff on the channel? No, because this has nothing to do with truth or lies. It has everything to do with party. Okay, I know a lot of you who watch Fox News get mad at somebody like Jessica Tarlov, my good friend, because she's an actual liberal who believes and is allowed to articulate liberal beliefs. Okay, because Fox is encouraging real political discourse. We want to have the conversation. One of the reasons you guys get so worked up about JT is because you disagree with her. But the difference between us and the other networks is they don't book people who are true Republicans. They book people who are there to agree with you with an R next to their name, okay?
That is correct.
I say this all the time. A Republican at MSNBC is like a chicken that works on the board at Popeyes. Yes, they are technically a chicken, but they're not operating with their fellow chicken's best interest in mind. Okay, Rona McDaniel was going to NBC so she could be a shill. They pay a lot of money. You go there and go, I'm a Republican, but man, this Trump, oh, it's bad. That's what Michael Steele does, a pretend Republican. And their job is to help them sell confirmation bias to their audience under the guise of, look, even the Republicans can't agree with this Trump fella. But is John Kasich a classic Republican? Okay, Anna Navarro? Stop it. Rona McDaniel, give me a break. You know the answer. But they want you to believe she can't be on. She can't be on. This is sacred. Here's Jen Psaki saying it's about truth versus lies. Clip 18.
To quote Liz Cheney, Rona facilitated Trump's corrupt fake elector plot and his effort to pressure Michigan officials not to certify the legitimate election outcome. She spread his lies and called January 6th legitimate political discourse. Look. This isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about red versus blue. Mm. This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
I mean, come on.
You gotta do better than that.
Jen Psaki, someone who also said, by the way, that the 2016 election was stolen. Is anyone barring her from political discourse? No. Is anybody throwing another stomping fit in the lobby at MSNBC? No. They don't want to converse with a Republican. Do you understand what they run on is so dangerous to the country? They're saying, how dare we even converse with these people? Do you want to know why America can't make progress? The nation built on compromise. Okay, there's never been a version of America where one side got everything it wanted, and that's just the way it worked, and things got better. That's not how it works. You can't sit here and characterize your political opposites as an existential threat to humanity, because then it's physically impossible for us as Americans to have the conversation. If the people getting paid to have the conversation can't have the conversation, what hope do the rest of us have?
I think he's got a point.
That's what I'm trying to say here. Okay, bring her on. You don't like her ideas? You can test them on the air. But this idea that we should just be a nation that runs on shaming people who don't agree with us, that is their business model. And it worked for a long time. Unfortunately, we're now living in an America where shaming Republicans doesn't close the border. Shaming Republicans doesn't lower inflation. Shaming Republicans doesn't get fuel prices back down because they're surging. It certainly doesn't do anything to boost test scores in failing inner city schools. Okay, the fact that Venezuela is now emptying prisons and sending them to our border, the fact that 10 million people have crossed, that the head of Border Patrol is saying a terror attack in this country is imminent. Okay, Rona McDaniel isn't the reason any of that happened. Okay, neither is the Republican Party, because it's the Democrats who opened the border. So the point I'm trying to make is they may not enjoy the conversation. They may even fear the conversation because having this one-sided echo chamber seems to be working for them in terms of their ability to sell confirmation bias, but it's not helping the country, and it's certainly not helping Joe Biden get reelected because 75% of the country thinks we're going in the wrong direction, and they would know that if only they had talked to somebody from the other side of the aisle.
You are correct, sir.
It's the show that leaves you hungry for more.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soup, eat bread and desserts, and just get all fat and sassy.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. There are reports in the media. This is not confirmed. There are reports in the media that NBC plans on firing Ronan McDaniel.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Sure, I mean, just days after hiring her, they don't. And this is, yo, you got to understand this, man. They run, everyone at MSNBC runs on we're better human beings than everybody else.
That is a fact check false.
But that's what they run on. And when you run on that, when the people tune in to be told that endlessly all day long, okay, you can't have somebody on the air who's going to disagree. There's no disagreement on MSNBC. It's the worst thing for you. It'd be the worst thing for Fox if we did that. Okay, Fox throws liberals on, lets them say whatever the heck they want. We have the idea debate. Some of our audience doesn't like them. How dare you put them on? But that's what America is. You're supposed to hear from both sides. You're supposed to have an honest conversation. Okay, Fox has a news division. Fox has an opinion division. MSNBC is just running 24 hours of opinion. No matter who's on the air, they're just giving you an opinion. They're not worried about facts. They're not worried about an honest conversation. They're worried about, hey, how can we tell our audience that they're better? They're better than those conservatives. And that's what they do. So Ronan McDaniel, to be clear, okay, as a former head of the RNC, is not like a hardcore conservative. Like, she's more establishment than anything. She's closer to a Democrat in theory than a Republican. But they can't even have her on, who is as moderate as they come. I mean, what is it, Mitt Romney's niece? I mean, this is not this is not like a hardcore, you know, she's not golfing at Mar-a-Lago between TV hits. Okay, but they can't even talk to her, because they're not comfortable having their ideas challenged. Those are the people who want you to believe, oh, America needs to have a conversation, as long as we agree, you know? Oh, we're the tolerant side, okay? We need diversity, but not diversity of opinion, not diversity of thought. And that's what's on the full display here, is they want you to believe she's too intolerant to be on, so they're kicking her out. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. About to bring on a general in the Failla Fashion Army who showed up hard to Fox News Saturday night this past weekend. Her Highness of the Rhinestone Boots, I don't even know how to introduce you anymore, Katie. You burnt it down. Katie Pavlich is here, and the crowd just goes absolutely bonkers. Hello, hello.
I set the bar high for my first appearance on your Saturday night show, so I guess it's only downhill from here.
No, don't you dare. Don't you even attempt modesty, because our mutual friend Rich Zeoli was trying to crow online that he won the yellow jacket, which he only won because Ryan was suicide bombing the actual question and answer game we were playing and agreeing with you, so no one could win. So I had the participation trophy Zeoli, did I not?
You did, and I feel like I got robbed.
You did.
But yellow is not my color anyway, so he's very proud that he got his participation jacket, and we can just let him have his moment.
Yeah, let him have his moment, but the problem is he's 3'7", so it looked like he borrowed a smock from his dad. Like, you
look like the bananas and the pajamas coming down the stairs.
We should have put feeties on that thing for him. He should have had feeties and a zip-up front.
It's a little sleepy time, yeah.
But
you
have to know from me to you how much I appreciated that. I know we talked about it when I saw you, and I had no doubt you were going to show up, but that was so gangster, and the fact that you whipped your shoes off and put them on the desk during the intro, because I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know that was a thing. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they had to have their moment. You know, the fashion army needs its TV as well. They turn into divas if you don't give them enough attention.
No, that,
do. So
that,
you really just got to keep them happy or else things get out of control.
Now, that does matter. Katie Pavlich is on the line. But we did. In terms of the fashion army, there were no survivors. Like, we just came in.
We killed it.
We killed everybody.
It was so fun. Love your show. We had a great time.
Oh, come on, KP. We'll do it again. So as we sit here right now, we are not the media figures making most of the headlines. It could be an ex-media figure in a minute. There's a report out that MSNBC is about to fire, or NBC anyway, is about to fire Rona McDaniel after all of that. Don't you find this meltdown kind of comical, given their own opinions on previous elections and things of that matter?
This is so ridiculous, but it just proves why liberal media is failing and why you're seeing this massive new influx of independent journalism and people going to conservative media, because somewhere like NBC or MSNBC prides itself on being a news source for the country.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they have and a very diverse network at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love diversity, except for when it comes to diversity of thought.
Oh, yeah.
And if they are up in arms because Ronna McDaniel was hired as a contributor there to offer somewhat of a right-leaning Republican perspective as the former head of the RNC, where the former president received 75+ million votes and, you know, 50% of the country votes Republican, and they had a complete meltdown. And it just proves it's because they're not interested in a well-rounded, discussion of issues. They're not interested in helping people understand things thoroughly or giving people a voice who may differ from them. They really just want a monopoly on what they put on the air so they can try to indoctrinate as many people as possible and act like there's not another point of view. And the hypocrisy on this is just absurd. I mean, Chuck Todd, for him to start lecturing about being a journalist and having morals and values and no political sway when he hosted dinners for Hillary Clinton at his house. And you have the same network that still employs Joy Reid, for goodness sake, and Jen Psaki, who was the White House press secretary, which is fine, right? She has a show. She does special coverage for them. But you try to hire one Republican who happened to be close to Donald Trump, and they just can't handle any kind of dissent from their usual drivel and lies about what they're telling America.
Oh, it's so true. We're talking to Katie Pavlich, and the thing I find about it so laughable is, like, you know, Rona McDaniel is not like a hardcore right-wing flamethrower. I mean, if anything, I would expect her to be like Michael Steele, where she shows up with a Republican credential and agrees with them half of the time, no?
Well, and it just proves again that this is like how they are on the left. It's like they can't even handle a quote establishment type Republican who is very just generic, right?
Yeah.
A generic Republican. They can't handle it, not to mention someone who actually represents more of the party now, which would be a Trump Republican.
Yeah.
And it's like her name is Ronna Romney McDaniel, guys. Like, you won't even let a Romney on? Like, really? Wow.
I mean, man. But
it's incredible.
It's so sad to watch, because there's this thing going on with them. And I do mean this. I want the best for people, even the people who disagree with me, you know, because I'm kind of a good vibe guy. That's my contribution to society. I'm a dog with a job. My tail's wagging. I'm in a good mood. You know, when a dog runs into the room, he doesn't know who you voted for. Okay.
Yeah.
These days he might, you know, there's probably like liberal dog treats and conservative, you know, but for the most part, the dog doesn't know. But they're not well. Like, an example I would give you about them not being well is yesterday's court ruling, because they all got out of bed truly hoping and believing Trump was going to have his assets seized, which, even if that was the case, they don't just seize your assets after a court issues, you know, an edict. That also takes months, and there's appeals and there's other logistics. But they're really selling themselves on like a day-to-day basis, almost a fantasy existence. And that's not healthy, to be as upset as they were after the guy got his bond reduced for, by the way, a crime he still shouldn't be charged with.
Well, first of all, I love the way you say dog.
Yeah.
a little side story here. We had a babysitter from New York when I was a kid, and my brother, who's 2 years younger than I am, picked up a New York accent as an Arizonan. So he would say the dog as well, but never have been from Long Island or Brooklyn. But yeah, back to Trump. you're a nice, good vibes guy, but I see this as, like, the people in the left-wing media are the most radical leftist people in the country.
Yeah.
They're not representative of most people.
Yes.
And they're tyrannical. I mean, they are tyrannical. They engage in fascist tactics.
Mm-hmm.
They want Trump dead, quite literally.
Yes, they do.
And so, you know, they watch this and think that, it, you know, finally they're going to get this guy based on these absurd rulings that are completely unfair and un-American, by the way.
Yeah.
And now they're having a meltdown because it didn't work out in their favor, that the government was taking out their political opponent.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what we call fascism.
Yeah.
And yet they project that on their political opponents. And so they didn't get what they wanted, what they wished for.
Mm-hmm.
It's still insane that Trump is having to pay $240 million in cash for a bond that he can't even really appeal until he pays it. I mean, it's absolutely asinine. And it's been interesting to watch over the past couple of weeks, the media salivating, in addition to that, Attorney General for New York, Letitia James, who brought this bogus case in the first place, you know, saying she was ready to seize his assets. So she had her eye on buildings in New York City. And then they started kind of backtracking because they were like, oh, wait, like people actually work in these buildings. People live in these buildings. Are we going to now, is the government of New York now going to be a landlord to, you know, hundreds of people who are living in these Trump-owned properties, like the Trump Hotel? Like, oh, we can't run a hotel.
Uh-huh.
So then they were like, oh, crap, none of us know how to do any of that. And now they're kind of looking at it. They're, you know, backing off to other properties that didn't have as many employees or tenants.
Yeah.
So, you know, they always get these big ideas in their heads, and then the consequences of what they actually mean in the real world come slamming right into their face.
Well, that's the part I think is so fascinating, KP, is like they're governed by emotion. They're kind of, it's like they're children when it comes to their emotions, because they're just leaning towards wherever their emotion tells them to go. It's like the Trump thing. So I heard Jen Psaki say this last night. Sometimes when my dominatrix calls in sick, Jenny puts on MSNBC instead.
Just, wow.
You know, you get
what a
wrong,
nice
kidding.
Gal.
There it is. That Jenny fella. But anyway, no, in passing, I throw on MSNBC and they're talking about how this appellate judge, like Trump's getting preferential treatment because they lowered the bond. But
yeah,
I'm like, okay. Yo, he's the first guy in the history of commercial real estate to be charged. That's not preferential treatment. That is the actual opposite of preferential treatment. But that's the part where they're like almost divorced from facts. So there was a point you made about how they are not representative of most of the country. And that's the thing I wanted to hone in on for a second, because I don't think the average liberal, I mean, there's some of them, but I don't think they're as extreme as the people in the media, because I don't think the people in the media are talking to anyone. Because if they were, I think they'd have a much more sober appraisal of like how the Biden presidency is going as a whole. No.
Yeah, no, they live in D.C. and New York. They've never worked outside of their current industry. They spent most of their lives in the elite Ivy League classes, thinking that the way the world actually runs is on academic theories and so-called journalists who think that they have a better moral barometer than the rest of the country, especially the Midwest of the country.
Yeah.
And the people who vote for Trump, those red places that they like to fly over and never visit. And when they do, they treat the voters like they're zoo animals. They're completely out of touch. And then the same people who in 2016 were like, oh my God, how did this happen? How did Trump win?
Yeah.
And they'll be shocked again if he wins in November and act like they didn't see it coming when it's very obvious what's happening. And not to mention, like, this is the consequences for what is happening and what they're doing to Trump right now will not be just about him.
Yeah.
I mean, business in New York has already been on the downslope, but I've talked to folks who are in business who are not political people, and they're like, oh, the government's just seizing assets now because they don't like the way you think. That could happen to anybody. We're going to rethink, you know, having our businesses in New York.
Yeah.
And so they don't care about the consequences, obviously, because they're fine with making an omelet, right? Breaking some eggs to make an omelet. But that's the way they are. They're fine with consequences as long as they get what they want politically.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they understand that as businesses are boarding up, you yelling out January 6th does not get their store reopened. You know, but that's the left. It's like it just
that's like the craziest thing about the Ronna McDaniel thing.
I know.
To say that she's basically responsible for January 6th. It's like, okay, you guys have completely gone off the deep end.
Dude,
it's insane.
AOC was able to say two nights ago that Donald Trump ordered a terrorist attack on the Capitol. I'm like, somebody has to get in the way of that sentence and stop it from forming. Because when you talk about like reckless rhetoric and just being divorced from reality, my God. And do you know what they had on last night? I never get to watch TV like in these stretches because we're either on it. I'm either on it or apologizing for something I did on it. That's how my week works around here. I'm either on TV or apologizing for what I just did on TV. But anyway, they had this gal, Cassidy Hutchinson, on last night for three breaks. Uh-huh. She's the one who claims Trump on January 6th lunged for the steering wheel in the Beast, punched a Secret Service agent, was like, we're going to the Capitol. How do you get back on TV after that? That's amazing.
It's so shameless. It's so shameless. And also, she's being sued for defamation.
Yep.
And the driver of the car or the Beast has refuted her account of story.
Uh-huh.
And it's like they just say, like, we're in this liberal media bubble. If you just do these things that are anti-Trump, you'll get ahead. And it's true.
Yep.
I mean, it's true.
Yep. And we know that. And that's it's all performance.
It's easy to be a liberal. It's all you have to do is just make things up and you don't have to be accountable to anybody. So there it is.
It's all pro wrestling. Like, I did this wrong, though. I did this wrong because I came here and I was required to, like, semi know what I was talking about. Semi, you know, because I'm kind of in a comedy lane. Like, you actually have to know what you're doing. But if you're on one of those others, like, if I could have just showed up there and was, like, kind of funny. God, I mean, the sky's the limit. If you could just churn out a Trump joke a second, like, you'd really be in good shape, man.
Yeah, and not even good Trump jokes, like bad Trump
it's
jokes.
All terrible.
Like when Baldwin was doing Trump, it was like, bro, you suck at this.
Like, it's true.
20 people are way better than you, at least. Like, I'm better at it than you are. This is horrible.
It's so spot on, but that's the part that they get wrong. That's where, like, the liberal comedians are failing the country, is that you can see that they're doing this from a place of malice. And comedy doesn't work if you're angry about it.
Right,
you know,
Like
something they tell you with a heckler is like the audience is on your side if you're getting heckled by a jerk. But if you start becoming a jerk instead of being funny, you can lose the audience because they trusted you to be good time guy. And that's the Alec Baldwin thing was so malicious, you know. But did you not laugh when the Hamas protesters went after Alec Baldwin a little bit? Because they wanted him. They were yelling at Alec Baldwin about a ceasefire. And I was like, dude, Alec Baldwin can't get a ceasefire on his own movie set.
Let's
be realistic here. Come on.
They were just trying to teach him a lesson. No, my favorite thing over the past like month with the Hamas, the pro-Hamas people, was when they were blocking Joe Biden from getting to the State of the Union, and all the Republican staffers were out at the bar. It's called Bull Feathers. It's like this famous place on Capitol Hill, and they're all outside because it was a nice night. Uh-huh. And they're like, get a job! Like yelling at the Hamas people, like, get a job! It's so great. Or even like John Fetterman, who's a Democrat, like walking through them, and he's such a big guy that he just isn't scared, with like an Israeli flag, just like flying it, walking through all the protesters. It's amazing.
Dude, Fetterman is like the closest thing we have to a reasonable Democrat. For all the jokes I've told about him, like, I do at least give him credit for having a semi-sane take on Gaza, no?
Well, there's lots of jokes that I will leave to you about what happened.
There it is. KP, putting on her rhinestone boots and taking the high road out of here. We love you, pal.
Yes, indeed.
Great work. See you soon, buddy.
Talk to you soon, Jimmy.
There she goes.
Thanks.
The legendary Katie Pavlich. If you have not seen this week's Fox News Saturday Night, Katie Pavlich was on the panel and just burnt it down to the ground. She's as cool of a person as you're ever going to meet in media, as knowledgeable, but she's cool. And that's where conservatives are winning right now. Throw policy right out the window. Nobody is having more fun than we are. Okay, on the other side, do you really want to hang out some woke liberal on tonight's Tuesday? You're going to be like, hey, it's Taco Tuesday. And they're going to be like, that's cultural appropriation. Because you're not of, like, Mexican descent. Like, you can't have guacamole. Check your privilege. Like, does anybody want to party with that?
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
Here's Here's the dumbest thing you'll hear anywhere in the world today. And it is a real stampede of stupidity out there. There's never been a dumber time to be alive than right now. So Keith Ellison, over on MSNBC, he's the attorney general over in Minnesota, says the problem with auto theft is that the manufacturers are making the cars too easy to steal.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
So they have a surge in stolen cars. Their answer is to go after the automakers and not the people that are actually, I'm not making this up. People are going to think I'm lying. Let me get to the clip, clip 33.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
You cannot be serious.
Do you guys, are you ready for this? I mean this, okay? Maybe you're an automobile manufacturer, okay? I mean this. This is important, okay? Maybe you're an attorney general in a competing state or a fellow state. I don't know, you're competing. It's supposed to be the United States, not that we are in this moment. But do you know what makes it hard for youth to steal cars? Are you ready for it? Consequences. If you arrest people for committing these crimes, if you put them in jail, if you let the police do their jobs, crime goes down.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
When we get a surge in auto theft and your decision is to go after the manufacturer, I mean, really think of that same logic. Well, the problem with the muggings, and there's all these women walking around with money in their purse. I mean, time was, you know, this is the old look what she was wearing, Your Honor. But they're saying it about violent criminals and car thieves. And this is why I'm telling you, because I care. It's the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. Here we go. Here we go. Big hour of Fox Across America coming up. Brian Brenberg, he's got the highest security clearance in the Failla administration. He's the host of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network, a frequent guest on this program as well as my award-winning TV show. I'm giving myself an award. That part was completely made up. But reality setting in as it pertains to the 2024 election in this hour, RFK Jr. is getting ready to announce his running mate.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
I mean, I don't know how much media attention this will get. We're certainly covering the heck out of it over on Fox News. I don't know what the hell they're doing over at CNN right now, but it has been a very busy news day. We are, of course, continuing to monitor the situation in Baltimore, where a cargo ship tragically hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge at 1:30 a.m. last night, or earlier this morning anyway. Six people remain missing. This is heartbreaking, sad stuff, and we will continue to brief you on it as details emerge. We've also got the reality that today is the first publicly traded day for Donald Trump's stock. It went up 40% out of the gate. We have a soundbite from MSNBC.
No!
I kid, but it has in fact come back down to earth. I believe it might even be down 15% off its initial high earlier in the day. So it'll go back and forth. But there's a lot to monitor. The RFK thing fascinating to me for a multitude of reasons. Okay, one is that as a current third-party candidate, he doesn't have ballot access anywhere. I think right now he's cemented it in one state. One of the back-and-forths on this potential candidacy is that he could become the Libertarian candidate, at which point he'd already have built-in ballot access in just about every state. Now, a lot of his views do overlap with the Libertarian Party, so the potential for that does exist. But until RFK Jr. is firmly on the ballot, all of this that we're talking about right now is just wild speculation because you need the ballot access to affect the race. Now, a lot of people, when it comes to third-party candidates, you know, always identify them as a spoiler for one guy or the other and tell them to get the hell out of the race. You have no business. You'll swing the vote to that guy or you'll swing the vote to that. The reason they're running third-party, are you ready for it? Is because they don't want either of those two people to win.
Bingo.
Okay, they're not running, okay, because they don't want to win. They're running because they are. you know, unless they're Marianne Williamson and they're just a moon bat. But the reality is someone like RFK Jr. looks out at the direction the country's going in and realizes, if we were being honest, neither one of these parties deserves a redo right now. You know, the Democrats have run the country into the ground. The Republican Party in Washington has been a laughingstock. You know, they filed a motion last week to get rid of Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House.
That was embarrassing.
Because it makes them look like clowns. And I don't like the deal Mike Johnson signed either. But the reality is the Republicans were given the power of the purse in Washington and didn't wield it. They were given a message from voters to go to Washington and get spending out of under control. But instead, they went to Washington and just passed a $1.2 trillion spending bill in the middle of the night.
Money, 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 money.
So the Republicans haven't done right by this country. Not that the Democrats are doing any better. The hope is that Trump gets in there and course corrects a lot of what's going on at the border. Course corrects a lot of what's going on in terms of taxation and all of these crazy green energy initiatives that are kneecapping the auto industry. Okay, and you can root for that to become a thing. But if you're RFK Jr., what you're actually trying to, you know, the needle you're trying to thread is bigger than it sounds, in the sense that most of the country, okay, is either way far right, way far left when you're watching cable news. But the reality is the vast majority of voters are somewhere in the middle of that. So RFK Jr. is a guy that in a general election could get 25-30% of the vote. And in an election this divisive, there is an outside chance he could win. Am I saying that he's actually going to win?
The answer would be no. The
answer would be no. But the reality is he's taking a lot more votes away from the Democrats than the Republicans, because Trump's supporters are firmly in his corner. Okay, Joe Biden's supporters, I don't know, they don't even know what to make of the guy anymore. I mean,
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
But, you know, the two biggest media takeaways, other than this meltdown about Rona McDaniel going to NBC and NBC being like, oh, no.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
NBC won't have Rona McDaniel on their air. The anchors are throwing a meltdown because she denied the results of the 2020 election. Okay, do you know that NBC spent 3 years telling you the 2016 election was stolen? I mean, that's a true story. Okay, they spent 3 years saying the election was stolen. Now she can't be on the air because she said 2020 was stolen. How about, as Americans, we collectively acknowledge the fact that both parties have had issues with the results of the past two elections, we being in the democracy business, the constitutional republic that we are, maybe we should have a bipartisan probe into election integrity. But is anybody talking about doing that?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Nobody wants to do that. So what RFK Jr. represents in a world of division is a voice that might prioritize substance over sensationalism. Okay, am I saying again he's going to pull it off? No. But there's an approach to what he's doing that resonates with a lot of people because he's more issues oriented. He's not out there telling you Trump is literally Hitler. He's not out there on a daily basis telling you Biden has dementia. Because at this point, it doesn't even need to be said.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
Okay, but he is gaining popularity purely, I think, because on one level, he's more substantive than the traditional Democratic voter. But on the other, he's staying away from identity politics. Here is Bill Maher on Real Time. I want to give you this. So Bill Maher has been doing a thing to his credit where he's trying to distance himself from the woke left.
They're crazy.
Okay, he's trying to, he doesn't want to be on the air saying boys can have babies because he knows the truth. He doesn't want to do that, to his credit. Okay, did he peddle the Russian collusion hoax for 3 years? Of course he did. The Hunter Biden laptop was fake, the COVID and lab thing. He's been on the wrong side of everything, but he's pivoted back towards the center, if only because he knows that his side looks like a bunch of clowns to rational observers. So here is Bill Maher talking about how the Democrats need to move on from identity politics, clip 31.
The liberal group MoveOn.org, formed in 1998 to urge Republicans to move on from the Clinton impeachment. Today's Democrats should move on from identity politics. It's not working. It's not working for them or for us. Democrats are hemorrhaging the very voters they think they're pandering to. The Financial Times writes, Democrats are going backwards faster with voters of color than any other demographic, and suggests the reason is that a less racially divided America is an America where people vote more based on their beliefs than their identity. Exactly. Far-left liberals are living in an old paradigm. Americans don't fit into neat little boxes anymore. Who has the number one country song right now? Beyonce.
Think about that.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
Think about that. Beyonce has the number one country song. Beyonce is a black R&B artist married to Jay-Z. Okay, we're not living in an America that's segregated in our everyday lives. It's segregated in the minds of the Democrat, of the race baiters who are making money off of this grift. It's segregated in the eyes of MSNBC and the people over at, say, CNN. I mean,
CNN is the worst.
Fine. But the point is, okay, to the rest of us, this is the most tolerant and inclusive and integrated society in the world. Okay, that's where we are right now. We don't actually believe. Nobody does. No one's walking around, unless you're a grifter getting paid on by colleges to say everyone's racist. Unless you're that person they bring into corporate America every year to give a seminar about how we're all racist and we don't even know it. And you make 40 or 50 grand off the company and call it a day. We know those people are out there. Okay, but the reality is the left is losing black voters because they're treating them like they have different needs than the rest of us. In the year 2024, we all have the same needs in every race because we're just humans. We just want to make money, feed our families, go to the movies, watch a ball game, laugh, find somebody to hook up with if that's what you're into. Okay, but the point is, as humans, we'll have the same needs. So this idea that we should be prioritizing our decisions based on skin color is the reverse of the civil rights movement. The whole point of the civil rights movement was stop telling people how to live their lives based on their skin color. Now the Democrats are out there every day telling your skin color determines everything. If you're a white kindergarten kid, you're an oppressor. Apologize to your classmates. Check your privilege. Okay, there's only one privilege in this day and age. It's called American privilege. If you live here, you are in the world's 1% in terms of the overall quality of life. The secondary privilege is called family privilege. There are people who come from good families, people who come from bad families. Come from a good family, you do have a leg up in society. But you shouldn't be penalized for that. Your family shouldn't, it should be held against them that they did the right thing, that they modeled empathy and excellence and hard work and consideration for other people. If you grew up in one of those families, you have an advantage. But you shouldn't be penalized because people and generations of your family busted their ass to contribute to a greater good. Okay, that's the model we should all aspire to. But what the liberals want you to do is destroy your family and depend on the government for everything you need in your life.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Again, that type of racial division and government codependency is a good way to get votes, but it's a bad way for a society to subsist. Do you know what we're dealing with here in New York right now? We had another cop killed last night. He was killed by a career criminal, a guy that's got a violent arrest record a mile long. Okay, a guy who has no business being on the streets, but continued to get released because of all of these woke bail reforms. But because the Democrats, based on race alone, created a society that had more empathy for the criminal than the victim. That's what the end result of the summer of 2020 was. They're like, well, you got to stop arresting these violent criminals because there's too many members of certain races in jail. But do you realize how stupid that is? Okay, you know, violent crime is not an issue of black or white. It's just an issue of right or wrong, pretty straight up. But when you look at the high rates of criminal recidivism, 90% of violent crimes are committed against members of the same race. So if you say, well, we can't arrest these people as much, they're likely to commit the violent crime against a member of their own race. So you're just hooking up the law-breaking member of the minority community at the expense of the law-abiding member of the community.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
But that's what we're doing. And when you hear we've got another cop killed, man, it really breaks your heart. And I tell you this because they've created this society where cops don't feel appreciated, and you're not appreciated by the mainstream media. You're not always appreciated by the ballplayers who protest you. while you protect their sporting event so they can make $20 or $30 million to play a child's game. But this guy, Jonathan Diller, okay, he's an NYPD cop. He's 31 years old, man. 31-year-old guy, okay? Just got married in 2019. Guy's out there building a life. And he gets killed by a dirtbag. And in moments like this, it's really dispiriting for cops, the vast, vast, vast majority of whom are great people who, as kids, wanted to be heroes, you know, wanted to protect other people. Jonathan Diller was one of those guys. Okay, he came from a family full of cops. You know, and I get it. And I get what moments like this make cops feel like. I've grown up surrounded by cops. It's the greatest privilege I've known in my life. We talk about privilege. Is I grew up around people who worked their asses off, who emphasized right and wrong and personal responsibility and beer, lots and lots of beer. These guys, they liked their beer. They did. They're a great time people, but they're also out there risking their lives so you can live yours. So let them have all the beer they want. But the point is, cops in this moment around the country listening to this, you have no idea just how much you really are appreciated. Okay, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the most grease, so the people bashing you are always going to get the most clicks on the internet. They're always going to get the most screen time at MSNBC or CNN. But there is nobody out there with a single solitary statistic that says the cops are disproportionately targeting one minority community over anyone else.
Put up or shut up!
They can't put up, they won't shut up, because that grift pays well. But this is a world the Democrats have created. When they tell you it's all based on skin color, when they tell you the cops only show up to the scene of a crime and react because of the person's race, and they truly want you to believe, as we did in the case of Jacob Blake. Jacob Blake was a black man who violated an order of protection, pulled out a knife against a woman who had an order of protection, sexually assaulted her in front of her child, and attempted to abduct the child. The cops show up, get in a fight, shoot the guy. He gets paralyzed. And everybody in the media wants you to believe these are just racist cops. Like there's some race out there they'd be okay with abducting a child at knife point and sexually assaulting a woman in front of the kid. But do you realize how divorced from reality and sanity that happens to be? And in one of those moments, okay, can only be possible if one particular party has played the race card so hard that people's emotions became their facts. Okay, Jonathan Diller is dead right now, a great guy, a great cop, was trying to protect others, because we created a society that had more empathy for criminals, that decided we shouldn't be jailing them because maybe they had a hard life. Well, you know, we've all had hard moments in our life, but getting killed is probably harder than anything we've gone through. And the reality is we have more of that and not less. Because the people in charge on the woke left decided we should think more about the criminals than we do about the victims.
Everything woke turns to
this thing is going to become gargantuan when the Son of Man comes.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be rapping with Brian Brenberg in the next moment. He's right around the corner right now. Just some you and me time. It's such a fascinating time to be on the radio right now. Country's nuts. You know, I always say, the world's on fire. We're just roasting radio marshmallows. I like to say that. But in the town I live in right now, I actually need that stick as a weapon. I can't even roast the marshmallow. New York is so out of control. I was driving in today. So I was on Good Day New York today, Fox Local Network, legendary Rosanna Scotto. We were doing a segment about my Saturday night show, talking about my book, best-selling book. I kid. But yeah, if you don't have a copy of Cancel Culture Dictionary, yo, let's go, man. Check it out. Get up. Come on. Go to Walmart. I signed them and put them on the shelf at Walmart. Or if you want an autographed copy, jimmysignedbook.com. That being said, I was on my way into Rosanna Scotto today, Good Day New York. So I drove into the city about 5 o'clock this morning, and I was watching the buses. They get dropped off at the Roosevelt Hotel. And there's this part of me that sees migrants getting off the buses and getting processed at the Roosevelt, being like, wow, that's, you know, some moment. You're in America. you know, you're starting a new life, greatest country in the world, that's got to be incredible. But then there's this other part of me that gets really mad, if only because every one of those people is here cutting the line ahead of the people who did things properly. And that, you know, indifference to fair and unfair in the name of just importing votes and telling us the border should be open and we're racist if we don't agree is really taking us backwards in terms of the overall quality of life in every one of these cities. So I think when the Democrats get out there and try to tell you that opening the border is the empathetic thing to do, I don't think they're in touch with the vast majority of people who realize that if you prioritize doing things right, we're all going to be a lot better off in the long run.
I agree with that.
I should not be the voice of reason, folks. This next guest is the host of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. He was almost the accomplice to a crime, though. If you would have answered your phone this morning, I was doing Good Day New York with the legendary Rosanna Scotto. They let me, we did a segment at the end of the show where I drove the new Chevy Corvette Stingray and I had to pretend I was driving Rosanna Scotto home. And let's be very clear, I drove Rosanna Scotto. But I did return the car. If Brenberg had answered the phone, we might be living in a totally different reality right now. But joining us now, not being pursued by the law, Brian Brenberg is here.
Not for that reason, anyway.
I wish
I could be there. I love Corvettes.
Me too.
I do love – my dad and I have an old Corvette. It's not a great one, but it's a fun one.
Yep.
And yeah, getting in that thing and firing it up – I mean – firing it up when you're talking about a 70s. Like, you can't hear anything else.
My dad had a 72. Same thing. It's a 4-speed.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I got. Yeah.
Well, what we got into today was the sexiest looking car I've ever seen. And it was an automatic. I mean, nobody. What? What are we talking about here? Come on, Chevy. And I love it. It's fast. And I know it's more accessible to more people because they can drive an automatic. But you know, when you get into a muscle car, you want to drive a muscle car, I think.
Muscles need to be activated. That's what makes them muscles.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You have to do something
you
in the car.
You got to do something. But it was it. Listen, was it a good-looking car? Yes. Was it a exponentially better ride than the last car I drove people around the city in? With all due respect to the yellow Ford Crown Victorias in the audience, I like a Crown Vic as much as the next guy. But no, it was a nice ride. So we drove it, and I did give it back, which, you know, there were no illusions that I wasn't going to. But to my credit, and you should be proud of this, I mentioned this to you in passing, when the shoot was over, because I had to take her around the block, I found a good open stretch of Second Avenue and almost killed us both. A lot of low-end torque in that vet.
What does it sound like, the mid-engine? Does it have a different kind of sound
to it? So here's the thing. The rumble is good, but you don't actually feel that throaty growl till you punch it.
Okay.
Okay, so the rider, it sounds like you'd expect it to sound.
Yeah.
Okay, deep, low, bassy little engine note.
Yeah.
But when you actually hit it, and you can feel the strength in that note is different, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a very funny moment. Rosanna Scotto was filming like an Instagram Live. And she's like, you know, I kind of want him to step on it. I want to get a little sugar. And I was planning to step on it. She didn't understand what I was doing is that I was letting traffic go. She's like, he's not even going. The light changed. People are honking. I was letting the room open up so I didn't like hit the guy in front of me. At which point I hit it hard enough that she almost threw her phone out of the car because she was caught off guard and almost lost it and went flying. I mean, kept her in the vehicle, but it's got that kind of firepower. And the roof was off. So, like, we're going for it here. So I got my money's worth. And then when we pulled on to 67th, which is where I was dropping her off, I did the same thing. I let traffic clear out.
Yeah.
Because at that point, when you get to the halfway point, you've got to turn the car in. So I made sure I got my money's worth. So we hit it hard.
It's almost not right to have a car like that in the city, though, because it's like
it doesn't belong
here. Calling out for something else.
It's like when someone has a lion in their apartment. There are reasons it shouldn't be there.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Brian Brenberg is here. He's part of the Liberate the Vet movement.
That's right.
He can't
That's
have
right.
one.
Free vets.
I laugh. Well, I will have you know, it's fascinating. To drive one of those, even in a TV shoot, I had to DocuSign a lot of forms.
Really?
Like, even for the Jimmy's, just going to take her up the block and throw it in reverse, which I did not do. But, like, they said you got to DocuSign a lot of things, driver's license, everything else, everything in between.
Because you're going to wreck the car, you're going to wreck yourself. Because they probably don't care about you,
they
but
don't
they're
care
like,
about
they don't
you. They don't
wreck
this
vet.
They'll wreck the vet. I believe it had a sticker price like $125,000. It was nice. It was a very
Is
nice.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was sexy. And I am not, to be clear, overinflating the worth. I don't want to get prosecuted by Letitia James. I do believe they told me the sticker price was $125. I'm under arrest now. They're like, Jimmy's overvaluing the Corvettes and his TV
shoes. It's only
a
$100 million bond. Don't worry. You can make it appeal.
Yeah, they reduced the bond. So I've been back and forth on this as a comedian. I kind of opened the show on this. It's been a media reaction to Trump getting his bond reduced. And the characterization of this is that essentially the rich guy's catching all the breaks or, you know, something to that extent. Right. We were playing this earlier. But to be clear, he's the only rich guy to ever be prosecuted for this crime in the history of the state. So going from a $460 million bond to a $175 million bond is not exactly doing him a favor because he's still getting prosecuted for it.
Well, yeah, I hear these people saying, oh, he got his bond cut by 60%. Yeah. That would never happen to me. Yeah. He's getting special treatment. I'm like, wait a second. There are literally zero losses in this thing. He's got to put up $175 million
Thank
bond.
You. They're like, oh, this guy, they're giving him firing squad instead of lethal injection for his business.
Right.
It's like, when do the perks end with this guy? I'm like, you're killing the business.
If his first bond was $175 million, we'd all be going, that's crazy.
It's too much.
Because it is crazy. Anything above zero on this thing is crazy, basically.
Well, that's what's so funny. So when you think of it that way, okay, and CNN screwed up last week. I loved this clip. We played it on Thursday and Friday. They're like, well, if he has to sell off his assets, Mar-a-Lago is worth at least $240 million. I'm like, but the whole point of the trial is that they pretended it was worth 18. So they outed themselves. He did not devalue the property. But this is the point I was trying to make as a comic. It's like Jon Stewart opened his show last night with this whole, you know, Trump, this is ludicrous. You try going in and committing fraud and getting away with it. But that's all based on the BS belief that he committed fraud. Right. He didn't commit the fraud. Mar-a-Lago was not worth $18 million. The guy who said it was worth $18 million is the guy who's committing fraud.
Right.
If your neighbor's property is $150, give me this. This is basic real estate. If your neighbor's property is $150 million, the other neighbor's $200 million, your property could contain nothing but a bag of dog poop. It has to be worth probably $150 million based on the comps, no?
That's right. And you're accurately describing my property, which I don't appreciate, you know, on national radio. This is a little embarrassing.
But it's true. And it's like you think about what real estate is selling for down there on that straight of stretch of land. And it's like Rush Limbaugh, the late, great Rush Limbaugh. His house just sold for $155 million. He lives down the block from Trump. There's no neighborhood where one of the houses is magically worth $18 million. It wouldn't matter. Okay? And that's the reality of this, is that the banks aren't alleging fraud. We've had this discussion 100 times. So the people who can't just let it go are actually just, I think, unwell. Does that make sense?
Well, they're just watching. This is the thing that makes the world okay again.
Yes.
It all has to work. And when somebody comes in and says, well, none of your argument hangs together here. I mean, you've just self-contradicted yourself. They're like, that's hard to hear. It's not easy to hear that your arguments actually don't fit together. And that's exactly what you have happening.
They don't want to hear that. They're like, oh, this guy gets all the perks. This guy that's being charged for the first time ever.
Like, fit those Jenga pieces together. It's not happening.
It's not a perk. If you're getting charged with murder and no one's dead, it's not a perk.
No.
Okay? They're like, well, you're in luck. We're only gonna pursue life in prison. You're like, but nobody's dead. What do you mean? But that's why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
The whole port in the storm argument I make every day on the air, which is like, hey, we need a place where people can chill out. They're the proof that we need one and that we're broken. Like this week, what was the big media story? Well, Rona McDaniel's got to go because she said the 2020 election wasn't legit. Said everyone who said the 2016 election wasn't legit. I'm like, apparently, I'm not an expert on like home goods, but something tells me they haven't sold a lot of mirrors in the last 10 years. If there's one sector that's down right now, it's the mirror sector has got to be kaput.
It's an amazing business. When history is completely taken off the table for you, it's an amazing business to be in.
You do it
every day. It's like, what do I want to say today? What do I want to invent today?
Nah,
it doesn't matter what I said back then.
I'll tell you this, Rona McDaniel, she's the problem. And it's like, I wish I could say to NBC, I'm like, hey, do you guys realize Republicans didn't like her either? Like, they would, if they realized in theory she was unpopular within the party because they thought she was too establishment, and you're only taking that NBC gig so you could show up and do what Michael Steele did, which is like right. be labeled a Republican, but take Democratic positions. What do we always say? An MSNBC Republican is like a chicken that works on the board at Popeyes. Okay? You can label yourself a chicken, but you are not operating with your fellow chicken's best interest in mind. Okay? Honestly, Brenberg, if you were a chicken, okay, would you be taking life advice from a chicken that worked on the board at Popeyes? No, you would not, Brenberg.
Well, I'd just like to say,
I'll tell you what we chickens need. We need more value meals. We need more family buckets. That's what we need as chickens. And you're like, no, I'm a chicken. I don't think this is good for the chicken community, actually. I think the value meal has been one of the worst things that's ever happened to the chicken community. And then they're like, well, if you don't agree with me, you're a racist chicken. And you're like, what do you mean I'm a racist chicken?
God, it's hard to be a chicken these. Hard to be a chicken these.
You with your white meat drumsticks. You're like, no, the point is I'm getting killed. It's not good for chickens to have chickens working at Popeyes. But they can't wrap their head around that, so they just yell, you're the bad guy. Get Rona McDaniel. I don't want to see her. It's dumb. This is the dumbest time. I shouldn't have brought back the vet. That's what I've learned.
Should have just kept going, man. And I don't know where you end, but you just keep going until you feel like you're
there.
Where
I would have ended based on the gas mileage is like 89th Street. That's where I would have ended.
That's true.
89th and West End. The cops surround me.
Good territory up there.
It's a good hood. I could be. Well, listen, when I lived on the Upper West Side, so we lived on 101st and Broadway, where Lincoln Fela was technically conceived, 101st and Broadway is where we lived at the time. When Jenny was pregnant with Lincoln, we moved to 102nd. So we moved uptown, as we like to say.
Yeah,
we moved up a block, same side of the street.
Fancy.
You don't know this, but everyone listening in the air quote flyover states who are living the best lives. Mm. You're from Minnesota,
yep.
But you know this as me, as someone who toured the country and is married to an Ohio girl. I have an affinity for everywhere but here. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up here. My family's here. My industry's here. I'm here. But I'm in on the joke that the people in the middle of the country are having they're just having the best
right.
time. Okay? But one of the things they need to know about New York, where we've decided we're smarter than everybody else because we're paying $8,300 a month for a studio apartment. This happened to me. Okay? I don't think I've ever told you a story. So Jenny is pregnant with Lincoln. It's the summer of 08. We decide we're moving into a one-bedroom on 111th and Adam Clayton Powell. It's a brand-new, gut-renovated hotel, apartment. It's a little beyond our means, but we've decided, no big deal. Jimmy can drive 7 days a week for a little while. What could possibly go wrong? We're driving 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. What's the seventh day? It's muscle memory at this point. You're going to be fine, Jimmy. You know, the whole sleep when you're dead thing. So we sign a lease for this new apartment. We load up the moving truck from 101st Street, shoot down on the subway to the realtor to get the keys to the new apartment. And they're like, oh, yeah, someone else rented this. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? I signed a lease. I have, you know, we didn't countersign the lease. One of our brokers continued to show it. And it's $1,000 more a month. I mean, if you want to outbid them, you could, because we technically haven't given them the
keys.
That
is so New York.
That's what you're dealing with. So now I have a pregnant wife, a loaded moving truck, and I'm homeless. This is crazy. Okay. By the way, we were moving into at the time, wrap your head around this in the middle of the country, a $3,500 a month one bedroom, which was known as a deal in 2008.
Oh, it's a steal, man.
A steal, which is a lot more than anyone listening is paying for their mortgage in the middle of the country. I'm in a one bedroom with a pantless hobbit in the lobby who greets you every day, and he's not waving his hand. I mean, he's waving something. I'm not going to, you know, that whole thing, but yeah, anyway. So the point is, okay, we're now homeless. This is New York. This is how it works, okay? So I now get back into my cab, just driving, and Jenny's shopping for real estate. We have to move our stuff into public storage, okay, and go crash out at my mom's for a few days while we apartment hunt, as you do. It's not paying for public storage. I met a dude in my cab who was the super in the building on 102nd who got into my cab one day. And sometimes you can tell when people need to talk because they just get in and sigh. So a guy just got in. He's like, I'm going down 89th and 5th. Like that. I'm like, what's going on? I'm not kidding. He goes, let me just say that moving is a and I was like, oh, you don't say. You don't say. And I told him my story. And he was like, dude, he's like, I'm vacating my apartment. I'm a super in a building. He's like, it's not going to be available for like a month. But that's what we did. We had to live at my mom's for a month with our stuff
and storage.
And
you got his place.
Wound up getting his. But again, we were at my mom's for a month paying for public storage because a landlord rented an apartment out from under us a month after we had signed a lease on the day we were supposed to move in. And the point is, to everybody in the middle of the country, all of these elites on the coasts that you see in big legacy media are idiots. They tell you they know better than you. They tell you you're the stupid people. I promise you, nowhere in the world is there a family that would be better off if only they saw a pantless wino going potty on the sidewalk while they walk their kid to school. That guy's, no one's writing that country song about it, you know. If only I had gotten into a ninja fight on the subway while I was taking my kid to kindergarten. That country song isn't being written. Am I wrong? Am I feel like I'm
it's
right,
Brendan.
It's giving
me an idea, though. It's giving me ideas.
There's
at this
a market
point.
For that.
I think so.
Well, listen, all the hot new artists are on the one train right
That's
now.
Right.
You ride the one train. We're in the golden age of mariachi because of the open border, and it's good music. The mariachi bands on the one line are so good. I'm now in support of open borders.
That's right.
I'm like, if the music's going to be this good, if we can just get the crime thing under control.
Dude, accordions everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
you guys
amazing.
Can phase out the fentanyl. I've never heard such good accordion in my morning commute as I hear right now. But the point is, I should have gotten the vet. You're right. I should have kept driving.
Yeah.
And everybody in the middle of the country should take a sense of validation from this interview because they are smarter.
Yeah.
They are. It's just like, is there anything dumber to you than the phrase McMansion? Because they say it derisively.
Yes. And you only hear it out here.
Yes, I know.
Because in the rest of the world, people are like, I have a nice house.
Yeah.
I've got plenty of room. My kids can go out in the yard and play.
Yeah.
Life is pretty good.
Yeah, that's not.
You got to put a mick in front of it. So that I feel better about, my 1,000-square-foot apartment.
Yeah. That's not a real mansion. It was affordable and the taxes are low.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, that's not a bad thing. You know, these guys hooking up with these easy Playboy bunnies. I mean, time was you struck out with these women and you went home with some pig. Look at these losers in the middle of the country with their McBunnies. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. It's a Playboy bunny. The guy's doing okay
with
for
Mick
himself.
Savings accounts. And Mick safety.
These guys
and Mick happiness.
If you live in the middle of the country, you are a genius. You heard it here first. Back after this.
Jimmy Failla.
Nice kid, but a little dumb.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Baseball analogies apropos. Because opening day, right around the corner. Yes, Thursday. Really quick, Brian Brenberg is here for an extra minute and 45 seconds. I think Shohei Ohtani might have bet on baseball. I know nobody wants to hear this. It's a sticky one. He's the face of the game. I already have my Dodgers tickets July 3rd to take Lincoln to Chavez Ravine. I don't want him to be on suspension, so don't think I'm coming from a place of malice. But the story started off a week ago. Yeah, this guy got in trouble with a bookie. I paid it back. It's now, I didn't know he was gambling. I have no idea he stole this money.
Yeah.
It's a weird pivot in the story.
But can I say this? Mm-hmm. He's the modern-day Babe Ruth.
Yes, he is. No, I'm giving that.
If he's the modern-day Babe Ruth, isn't this the kind of thing he should be mixed up in?
Yes, he should. He should be eating hot dogs at first base. He should be doing Babe Ruth stuff.
I'm just saying.
Babe Ruth used to crash cars, fast women. I mean, if Babe Ruth was here.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women.
That's what Babe Ruth was doing. It's assault and SWAT. So, no, I get it. I'm not mad. I believe it was Mike Huckabee who once talked about, I think he said, pardoning Keith Richards. And he's like, if you could play guitar as good as Keith Richards, I'd pardon you too. I do think there's a level of baseball proficiency that allows me to look the other way. I just think the story has taken a weird pivot. And if the buddy stole the money, you'd want to press charges, unless pressing charges would lead to him proving his innocence by showing that you were the guy placing the bets.
I don't think you want to press those charges.
Yeah. What baseball wants to
let
do.
Let bygones be bygones.
Let's play
ball.
We're all adults here. Get out the broom and sweep this under the rug because we need some baseball, don't we, Brenberg?
Amen.
We got you, Shohei. Send me a Venmo. I won't tell anybody. See everybody on the Ingram Angle. Until then, be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.